Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
ESPN 97.5.
KFNC 97.9 HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Presented by Zadot Jewelers.
Don't sweat the technique.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Astros fall in San Fran in the rubber game, 5-3. They go 3-3 in this road trip. They blew 2 games. It stings. You win today, it would have been all right. Like, 4-2 road trip, that's cool. You did it without Kyle Tucker, that's cool. The 2 games you lost were games that you should have won. I guess that's, like, a tolerable. 3-3 just doesn't feel good. Nope. Doesn't feel good. Astros do have Detroit and then Chicago, so 6 in a row against them. Almost a must 4-2 record against those two teams in the 6 games. Detroit and then the White Sox, yeah. Did I say Chicago?
Yeah, White Sox.
Yeah, Detroit, then they go to the White Sox.
Okay.
I'll get to the what went wrong with the game. I mean, Blankers and I are working. We didn't watch this game at all. We had no idea what was happening in this game. We didn't have our eye on it whatsoever. That's why we thought it started at 6:05 because we didn't know it was going on. So what went wrong for the Astros today? 713-780-3776. We'll get to that in just a moment. A few of the Easterbee, Jerry Jones things. Someone asked, well, how are they different? I think the Jerry Jones Dallas thing's different because that's more ego power, whereas the Easterbee impact on the Texans was more like someone grabbing control that had no business of having control. Quite frankly, maybe it's both. Maybe it started off initially as Jerry Jones E, where I have the ego and I'm going to have this power. And I mean, the sign stealing thing played a role in this too. Like, I see what you guys are doing. I'm capable of doing this too because I played college baseball. And then maybe the Easterbee effect of Bagwell came later, mm-hmm. where it's Jerry Jones initially, and then Easterbee's wave came on through, represented and symbolized here by Jeff Bagwell.
I think it really is both because of the fact that the more I think about it, the more Jim Crane, when he is the leader and been so successful in doing so of companies in the business world, that's kind of the way he is the dictator. He's the commander in chief, and he's not afraid to tell anybody anything. And I think that he's also a smart enough businessman to realize, before I do anything, I need to get the lay of the land and understand how everything works around here. And then once he saw what they did and the fact that they already had a foundation laid, that to have a really good team in the future, I think he did get the feeling of, I can do this too.
Yeah. Yeah. 713-780-ESPN 6860. Does Jim Crane pay off a woman to hide his kid too? I don't know.
Ooh, which one? I think there have been several.
Evidence of that. But yeah, Jerry Jones has been alleged to do that. 0375. I think he's a Cowboy fan. What is a 479 area code?
I've never heard of that.
Northwest Arkansas.
Oh, wow.
Northwest Arkansas. Well, that's probably cowboy country.
Jerry's a hog, too.
It might be Jerry Jones.
Because Jerry's a hog.
Jerry Jones might be texting our program right now. But he says, has the take on Jerry Jones ran its course in regard to him not knowing or understanding what it takes to be a GM or evaluate players? He's been doing it for nearly 30 years. I would imagine the average GM experience is less than that. That's the thing. Like, I think he has the experience, but does he have the skill?
Yeah.
Like, let's just say I'm going to go play professional baseball. Like, I'm going to go play professional baseball and bounce around from independent league, independent league, independent league, and I've been doing it for 20 years. That doesn't mean I'm good at it. That doesn't mean I'm better at it than some guy who's done it for 2 months who's way more skillful than I am.
Let's look at the fact that if we just go by, you know, recency as the easiest way to analyze. Recency says, he said in the start of the offseason, we're in full go-for-it mode. We are in full go-for-it mode. We're going to go for the Super Bowl. Guess what he did? Nothing. Nothing. He let all the running backs go, other free agents sign. He didn't even sign his own. He basically got worse over the entire offseason, which got the ire of his best defensive player in Micah Parsons to basically say, wait a minute, I thought we were in go-for-it mode, and we haven't done a damn thing except for get worse.
Yeah. Yeah, that didn't...
It doesn't sound like a GM to me.
A lot of Cowboy fans I know are not... They don't like Jerry Jones.
A lot. Almost everyone I know does not like Jerry Jones.
I think it's like very few actually defend. I've never heard of Cowboy fans defending Jerry Jones, actually.
I think the very lesser of two evils would be, at the very least, get a real general manager and still own the team. Because, you know, he got that big Pepsi deal and Nike deal for the stadium and he built Jerry World. So they like the business side of Jerry.
I mean, I think they like the stadium. I don't think they care who the sponsors are.
No, but that was a huge revenue deal for the franchise that overall he put into football operations, and that helped kind of with the whole funding of Jerry World and the practice facility and all the things they got. He's done a great job on the business side. But I think most Cowboy fans would say, at the very least, stay out of football.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. 713-780-ESPN. So what went wrong with the Astros today? 713-780-3776. 2180, things that went wrong. Fromber didn't do his meditation exercises. Alex Cintron still exists. Let's break that up a little bit. First off, why does what's Cintron getting catching strays here? Cintron, what did he do?
Why is he getting dragged for the hitting?
Yeah, maybe he's not. Well, he's a hitting coach. He's not doing his job as a hitting coach, I guess.
Granted, they didn't have big games in San Francisco, but overall, the hitting's been better on the road trip. They hit the ball and put up crooked numbers in almost every game.
I think that hitting coaches and pitching coaches get way too much criticism. Like everybody, oh, Murphy and Miller are terrible. Okay, well, Taylor Scott and Seth Martinez have sub-2 ERAs. What about those guys? Do they help those guys? The only influence, like fans think that the only influence that a pitching coach and a hitting coach have is whenever guys do poorly. Whenever a guy has success, they never get credit.
Right. Well, at the same token, do you think that they were responsible and the main fault for Fromber only throwing 37 strikes out of 59 pitches today?
That's brutal.
That's awful.
A lot of the text line, and we mentioned that text there too. Apparently he got a bad call in the second inning, and like they're saying that he never recovered from that. I'll have to go back and watch the.
There's a guy that I want to give big money to. He still can't handle things emotionally on a one call that could get him the wrong way.
There's no chance they're going to give him contract extension.
You can't throw money at a guy like that gets sideways so quickly.
Somebody will give him a big deal.
Oh, yeah, somebody else will.
Somebody will give him a big deal that doesn't watch Fromber Valdez pitch every single game. 7-5-8-4, Singleton and Abreu, a combined 0-for-7. 0-for-7. Did Abreu not have 4 at plate appearance? Nope, he didn't.
Last night, though, Singleton had 2 hits and a walk, was on 3 times, made a good defensive play. So
yeah, I mean, the first base production has been poor, though.
Oh, no question about it.
Singleton's your better or worse option there. 649 OPS at first base isn't ideal.
Look, if I gave you the choice right now of Singleton and Abreu or Loperfido and Cabbage.
Cabbage. Cabbage is hitting all right. Cabbage, 267 average.
Got picked off, but he got a hit today.
267 average, 667 OPS ain't great, but it's better than Singleton. No, I would go Cabbage there. And Cabbage gives you some athleticism. Mm-hmm. It's not great when you use that athleticism to get picked off. There was a critical moment. I peeked in the corner of my eye. Abreu was up. Was it in the eighth inning? Victor Caratini had a leadoff single. Yep. Astros are down 2 runs. Spotted doesn't really have an option. Like, you would think there, if you have a lefty off the bench, maybe you could pinch hit there. The only lefty you have on the bench is Cesar Salazar. I don't really think that's a pinch hit candidate for the Houston Astros. Yiner Diaz apparently is not available, even though they haven't placed him on the IL. I mean, yeah, it's not a left-handed bat, but he's on the bench. Yeah. He's really your only option there.
Right, but it's better because I said to you at the time, I went, do you pinch hit here? Here would be the time. And nope, here comes Abreu, and he's got his bat, and he's going to go down, and he's going to go down meekly and hit into a double play to make it work.
Killed a rally there. I mean, he's their tying run, leadoff single, nobody out. You really want to scratch there because you know that Duvall, their closer, is coming in the ninth inning, and a weak double play up the middle.
Plus, as long as you avoid the double play, and you got the top of the lineup coming up.
Yeah, well, Cabbage first. But
right,
then,
but then Altuve, you at least get Jordan them up. And Breggs, yeah.
You at least probably get them up with a runner on base. Yeah, I mean, the Yiner Diaz thing is interesting to me. Like, and this is a scenario now. I mean, if Joey Loperfido's on the team, he's still not pinch hitting because the Spotted didn't pinch hit Loperfido the other day whenever he could have. Is that coming from the front office? Is that him sending a message? I don't know. But the Yiner thing is confusing to me because if the Astros would have placed Yiner Diaz, and they can still retroactively place him on the injured list now, okay, cool, but you also lost these last few games of not having a full bench to Joe Espada's disposal. If best case scenario, Yiner Diaz comes back Friday and plays Friday, you're looking at a 5-game difference. Like if he comes back and plays in every game starting Friday, that's 5 games. 5 games that he's in the lineup that you're gaining by not placing him on the injured list. The negative of doing that, though, is you have nobody on the bench. You had to send down Joey Loperfido, which looks like an embarrassing thing. Your manager's out there saying there's so much opportunity for Joey Loperfido to play, yet he can't play defense ahead of Cabbage. He can't get a pinch hit against Singleton. They'd rather have Jose Abreu against a tough righty than Joey Loperfido, and the only time they use Loperfido is to pinch run for the slowest runner in all of Major League Baseball. So what is more valuable? 5 games of Yiner Diaz, or you keep Joey Loperfido, you have a full bench, and the added bonus, knowing that Yiner Diaz won't be rushed back, which, spoiler alert, this team has had a history of rushing guys back, and these are the kind of reasons why. Well, we don't want to look stupid for not placing Yiner on the injured list. We know that we need to get him in a game before he would have been eligible to come off the injured list, so let's stick him in the lineup. He might not be 100% yet, but we can't look stupid. Like, I'm almost always, if a guy's going to miss 3, 4, 5 games, I am always, just put him on the injured list. Let's err on the side of caution. Let's make sure we're not rushing him back. Let's make sure he's not rushing himself back, because there's literally a rule where he can't play this amount of days. I hate the small hill to die on. I understand that. I just don't understand why they kept Yiner Diaz on the active roster.
Well, and the question then becomes, the difference of a year ago when Dusty would say, what was he always saying? When we know he's completely healthy, we're still going to give him an extra game to make sure that he's okay. No one's doing that this year.
No, I don't like they tried to wait for Tucker. Yeah. Like, they didn't place Tucker on the injured list immediately.
He was in a walking boot for like 5 days.
He's on crutches. He was on crutches, and they didn't place him on the injured list for like 2 to 3 days. And it's like, man, you need to, like, and again, like, is this are we making a mountain out of a molehill? Yeah, probably. We probably are. But we've seen under Dana Brown, and it might not be Dana Brown, we're aware of that, where they rather not place a guy on an injured list if it means that they gain, like, an additional 3 games with them in the lineup. Where it's, I rather trade those 3 games away to have a full bench, to make sure the player's coming back healthy, completely 100%. They're not rushing themselves. I don't feel like I need to press them in the lineup because if I don't and they're gone for 10 days but I didn't place them on the injured list, then I look foolish. Why not err on the side of caution?
Isn't it also counterproductive, Jeremy, if the fact that if they're doing this, it seems like they're in a bit of a panic mode to try and make sure that they have the guy, their big-time type players of, you know, available sooner?
Yeah. Okay, I get it.
But counterproductive is, if that's what you're trying to do, then why aren't you putting the best lineup you can put out there every single game because you're in panic mode because you're trying to win every game you need to win instead of force-feeding us guys that can't hit the baseball or play the game the right way?
Yeah.
It's counterproductive. It's zero sense.
It's not fun. 713-780-ESPN. What went wrong with the Astros today? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Wild horse Framber Valdez today for the Houston Astros gives up 5 runs on 8 hits, 4 innings, walked 1, struck out 1. Good work from the relief. Seth Martinez, 2 scoreless innings, sub-2 ERA. Sean Dubin, what is this song? What is this song, Boston Rodriguez? You like this song, Blinkers?
No, I don't
this
know your what the jam? Hell it
is. What is this, Boston Rodriguez? This doesn't sound very Killer B.E. What do we got here? What we got?
It's the Pit by the Silver Sun Pickups.
Oh, okay. All this right. Your jam? Is this what you usually listen to?
Kind of. I haven't listened to the song in a while.
I can get into it.
You could have told me just about anything at a event, okay? Because I have no idea what the song is.
Is this your summer anthem?
Is this your jam?
No, I just haven't heard the song in a while. Figured I'd play it.
You are much younger than us, so you're probably much cooler than we are. It just caught me off guard there a little bit. So Seth Martinez, 2 scoreless innings. Sean Dubin, 2 scoreless innings. Struck out 5. That's cool. Framber Valdez appears to be the lead story here. Pulled after 59 pitches. I was a little spooked by that. Just not watching the game live, seeing that it was 59 pitches. Usually they're willing to ride him even if, you know, he's not going right. I was worried that, you know, it wasn't injury related. Joe Espada said, no, strictly performance. We pulled him because we felt that gave us the best chance to win. And actually it did. I mean, 4 scoreless innings with Martinez and Dubin, it was the right move, but no injury there, which is good. But everybody that's texting in, Framber Valdez needs to see a psychiatrist again, his therapist again. Did he get rid of him?
I don't know.
Does he not use him anymore? Because I would argue that, yeah, he needs him.
Previously, I thought that he was only seeing a sports psychologist in the off season. But if he's not traveling with the team, then there's an issue.
Yeah. Everybody's saying that he melted down after a bad call in the second. I'm going to have to go listen to that. 713-780-ESPN. What went wrong with the Astros today? I want to remind you to join us for the Space Cowboys game on June 27th for ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 night. Our listeners can get tickets for $9.25 by just entering the promo code ESPN925. Come watch the future of the Astros with us and see if any of our hosts will embarrass themselves throwing out the first pitch like last year. Is that Bush League? Is that Bush League that Brad Kellner's catching astray here, who is no longer with us?
Yeah, it kind of is, but if it's at the expense of cashing in on some more clicks, I think they're going to be fine. Joe already on their show made sure to let me know that it was my bad for throwing a strike because my strike pitch didn't get as much of attention as BK's aimlessly almost hitting the press box.
Did you go before BK? Or after BK?
After BK.
Okay, so you didn't put any added stress.
Oh, no, but so Joe and I and BK were standing there, and I was like, look, I'm going to make sure no matter what, I'm just throwing a strike. and BK looked like he was about to wet himself. I mean, he was already looking at so everybody can say he did it purposely, but I looked at Joe when BK went out there, and I was like, I don't know that this is going to go so well, and then screw the mascot. I mean, he almost hit the press box. It went up the net and back.
I didn't think it went that far.
Oh, it was bad.
I thought it rolled to the backstop. Lance was trying to remember that show's name the other day, and he's like, what was that shit? The White Boys. Instead of the wheelhouse, he said those white
boys. Is
that
what he called them?
Yeah. Of all the hosts we currently have, who is the most likely to Brad Kellner it?
Adele.
Is that because he's different than us? Or
no.
Why? You don't think he can pitch? Think,
Adele doesn't really care for baseball. I don't think he's a soccer guy.
I wonder if Paul could throw. He played receiver, quarterback, or he didn't play safety. Quarterback. Played receiver, safety. Like, he's a good athlete, but baseball and, like, throwing a baseball can certainly humble you. I wonder if he can throw a blade. I've never seen him throw. Can Joe throw?
That I don't know either.
Yeah, I'd probably answer Dell.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to see how Paul or Joe throw.
They were throwing your name out to be the guy that's going to do it this year.
To do what?
Throw out the first pitch.
Okay. I mean, I'm going to go in front of the mound and just throw a 75%. No, you don't do that. That's Bush League.
Oh, I did.
It's Bush League.
No, because I used to do that, and I'm not going to do it from the front of the rubber. I'm gonna go and prove to myself that I can throw it from the rubber.
Yeah, and you're ticking off the guy who's actually going to be pitching. You're messing up his mound. I have too much respect
for the game.
Didn't
have cleats on. Didn't tear up the rubber.
You moved it around. You ruined the rake job. I have too much respect for the game of baseball to mess with the pitcher's mound. Too much respect. If it was a turf mound, okay, different story. But I have too much respect for the game and for ball players who are trying to live out their dream of making the big leagues than to mess up their mound. I have too much respect for the game. 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line. 713-780-3776. I might just like fake throw it as far as I can. I might turn around and see if I can throw over center field.
You should see if the mascot could get within range. I mean,
like throw it over the press box? How would they react if I did that? Just like, okay, I'm going to try to throw this out of the stadium.
Well, here's a little side bit. You don't use one of the baseballs they use.
That's fine. That's better.
So that's what's better. So you could do that and they wouldn't care.
I might do that.
The only problem is if you throw it, it is because they have a lot of foul balls that go literally out of the stadium.
Yeah.
There's a parking lot behind the
stadium. I don't think I can reach the cars, though. I mean, I've been there a few times doing games there. I don't think I can reach the cars. I'm not sure I could clear the press box.
Hit somebody.
That's a good point.
You hit somebody because it's right directly, you're going right behind home plate.
Yeah, and there's
an entrance there.
And they're probably going to sell out with us being there.
No question.
Yeah, so there is that. I might have to reconsider. All right, 713-780-ESPN. What went wrong with the Astros today? And which ESPN host is most likely to screw up a first pitch similar to Brad Kellner did the other day? Joe writes these reads, and he's throwing BK under the bus. 4488, Dubon let a few balls go over his head that I think Myers gets to. Again, we have the TV here. We're watching it out of the corner of our eyes. There was a couple of balls that it's hard to tell when we're watching it out of the corner of our eyes and not live if we feel like Myers had a better chance. What did you think?
Yeah, the one that was in question to me didn't go over his head. I think it was in the gap more. And so the question would have been, would Jake be a little bit more fleet of foot to close the ground to get into the alley to catch that baseball? Because when I looked at the replay, it definitely, there was about a foot between the baseball and Dubon's glove. Now, was that the jump or was that it was just too well hit? So I'm not going to put that on Jake would have had that.
Yeah, I think Jake's had, I would need to go back and watch these live. Now, I do think that Jake has far more range than Mauricio Dubon has. So I think that it's in play, but I can't really comment on them because I didn't see them.
Because naked eye, when we saw it live, the first thing I said to you was, I wonder if Jake could have caught that. Yeah. It looked like, and I thought he could have.
Yeah. Somebody texted in and said Lance, but he's liable to get hurt. That's a great point.
Might very
sprain
true.
His ankle walking. He might sprain his ankle on the grass cutout, the lip of the
he's
grass.
He's the guy that should not go up on the mound because just the distance between ground level and the top of the mound is a danger zone for Lance.
What's more likely, that Lance would trip on the rubber or the foul line?
I would say the slope of the mound.
I'm worried about him in that foul line. Aggie Matt, do they keep Montero to save face for Bagwell? I think that the money and the luxury tax would trump Bagwell. Mm-hmm. Although, I am blown away with how much trust Jim Crane has given Jeff Bagwell. It shocks me from like, I mean, Jim Crane's a self-made, probably billionaire. He buys the Astros. He hires the right people. He builds them from literally the ground up to a two-time World Series champion. And the amount of value that he gives to Jeff Bagwell building a roster blows my mind.
It's crazy. I never thought anyone could come close to the way the Texans just absolutely handed over the keys to the organization to Jack Easterby for a couple of years. But to see what they've done with Bagwell, yeah, I get it. He's a Hall of Fame player. But overall, from everything that you hear and see, it is kind of amazing that a very smart businessman that had really smart general managers decided to go this route.
Yeah. You wouldn't expect that from somebody who has had like the business background. And even like some really good years as the owner of the baseball team. Even if you were to poll the city right now, even right now today, who is the best owner in Houston sports history? I think Jim Crane probably takes that vote. Les Alexander would be close. I think Crane takes the vote.
He might.
Even though this year has been like very painful.
We talk about the back of the baseball card, too. What's the front of the business card look like for Jeff Bagwell? He's the minor league hitting instructor when you send Abreu down. He's the part-time color analyst on television. He's a radio analyst. He's assist. What is his exact title? Like something vice president of baseball.
Community relations, I think.
Community relations and or assistant to the, I don't know if he's the assistant to the owner, but he has a baseball operations title too. I mean, you run out of space on the front of a business card if he still passed, if they passed him out with all the different titles that he's filling. It's like he's in the minors.
It's insane. I do think Dre says Crane's refusal to pay out in DFA Abreu is hindering the team. Crane is a tightwad in all capital letters. The moving on from Abreu isn't about the money. Like, mm-hmm. They owe Jose Abreu money regardless. This, to me, is more about pride and admitting fault. I do think that it is coming, though. If Abreu – and look, I think Abreu actually showed some life in L.A. He did not in nope. San Francisco. And then his, you know, he didn't have a very good day today. I think that he's going to get DFA'd by the end of the month if he does not show more life than he has shown you.
Yeah, we guesstimated, and I think we're going to be pretty close. I think that between the end of the month, July 1st, right after July 1st, between July 1st and the middle of July at the very latest, he's no longer an Astro. You just can't keep throwing him out there. You can't throw him out there and watch a guy playing Major League Baseball and can't catch up to anything thrown his way for the most part. I don't care about the occasional home run. Everybody runs into a fastball every now and then. But he looks overmatched.
Yeah, he does. Can't we just move Diaz to first and make Caratini the full-time catcher? I would love that.
Fine with that.
I think it would be the best for multiple reasons. I think it's your best nine. I think it helped Yiner offensively. I don't think Yiner has taken very well to the rigors of being an everyday catcher. 9681, another Fromber meltdown. Anyone else tired of his pouting during the game when calls don't go his way? You can see it every time something goes wrong. He's soft. He really should have kept the psychologist.
It's frustrating. It's extremely frustrating to watch a grown man, a professional athlete, and a guy that has really above average abilities in the game, that's had success within the game, be affected negatively that quickly. Because yeah. It's not normally anything more than one pitch call or one play, and he is just gone.
Yeah, and you always see that little smirk.
And the head, the bobblehead. He starts doing the whole shaking of the head really rapidly, and then he gets the uncomfortable smile like he just farted in church. And the next thing you know, it's all, everything falls apart.
1229, it's simple. They didn't score more runs than the opponent. Nothing gets by you, 1229. 4683, got to trade Fromber this summer to get the most for him. That's interesting. Because we've talked about Tucker. Fromber and Tucker have the same club control. They're under contract through next season. We've discussed the idea of Tucker. If the Astros are way out of the race, they don't have a chance to get back into it. You've kind of accepted the fact that he's going to be way too expensive and demand too high of a contract that you're ever going to pay him. Like, would you entertain the idea of trading Tucker? I personally would. I don't think the Astros will. I don't think the even if the Astros feel like 2024 is a lost cause, they're not going to feel the same about 2025, and they're going to be willing to have Kyle Tucker in the final year of his deal and Framber Valdez in the final year of his deal. I believe in being aggressive in trade when players are coming to the end. I'm not a big believer in paying players huge contracts into their 30s. If I'm 10 games out of it, now I don't think they will be because they're like – they're 5.5 back from the wild card. And I think the Astros will look at that as just, we'll just get us in and we'll you know, do what we do in the postseason. But if the Astros are 10-plus out of the wild card on July 28th, I'm entertaining offers for Kyle Tucker. And, yes, I would be entertaining offers from Framber Valdez.
The other side of that is that you know that you have that group that is so hell-bent on winning that they believe next year with Tucker in the middle of the lineup, with Yordan in the middle of the lineup, with Altuve still in the lineup, with Peña hitting, with all the different guys, and Yiner still there, and all the guys that they have, they're going to be right back in the thick of things next season, so they will not do that. I don't think they'll do either. Of the two, I think they would be interested in trading Framber Valdez because they know more than most in terms of how kind of fragile he is mentally to say, yeah, there's a guy that, regardless of where he goes, we should maybe repurpose that a different direction.
Yeah.
But I don't think that they're anywhere interested right now because of next season and Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, I don't think they would ever consider it either. If I were the owner or GM, I would. I would. Blaine says, horrid lineup today. What didn't you like about the lineup? If you're going to say horrid lineup, tell us why. My guess is probably because Singleton was your cleanup hitter. Joe Espada has told us through his actions that he does not really put a whole lot of weight in his cleanup hitter.
Right.
Like, his cleanup hitter is by, like, of the four spots in the lineup, I would argue it's the at least top three most important spots. Joe Espada has told you time and time again that he believes the cleanup spot in the batting order is the fourth most important spot in the batting order.
Yep.
He believes the top three are more important than the
he really
cleanup
does.
Spot.
And at the same time, too. Like, you know, Peña's hit there. He's moved multiple players there. Singleton was just a guy that you hope he's catching fire. He throws him there. I think that if you're going to be critical, what are you going to be critical because Cabbage was in the lineup? Because Cabbage has actually been hitting the baseball, and he's not been a liability. So I don't have a problem with him being in the lineup either. And if Yiner's not available, who are you looking at? You're going to throw Chaz out there and expect great results?
Yeah, maybe don't give the day off to Myers type of deal, but he looked awful at the plate yesterday. He did have four hits in the 2 days prior to that. So maybe that's the option. I was a little surprised they moved Peña to fifth and Singleton to fourth, though. Singleton had some good at-bats, though, yesterday.
He barreled up, and he got a hit. Did he have a hit today?
Singleton?
Yeah.
No, 0 for 4.
Okay.
I didn't have an issue too much with the lineup other than the devaluation of the cleanup spot, which I don't love that Espada does. I didn't mind Myers having the day off. Yiner's clearly not capable of batting. Now, that's an entirely different conversation. Should he be on the IL? I would argue that he should be.
Right.
One thing that is funny, though, is Singleton and Abreu are your two first basemen right now. Like, you know, we've talked about Dubon should play there more. Yiner should play there at all. Lopez should play there. Cabbage should play there. Like, they're not really in the mix at first base, you know, wrongfully so, but it is the, you know, truth of the matter. So Singleton and Abreu are your first base options. We know that Abreu plays more often than Singleton. Yet every single game since Jose Abreu has been back where John Singleton and Jose Abreu are in the lineup, John Singleton hits higher in the lineup. What does that tell you?
Yeah, it says everything you need to know. And the fact of the matter is it's what we knew and what we've known. And the fact is until they get it in the front office, we are going to be forced to have to realize you're going to have a massive hole in your lineup every time he plays and that no one believes in him other than the core four upstairs. And it's ridiculous that right now chasing the Mariners, chasing 500, chasing a playoff spot, you're still putting up a subpar lineup and starting behind the eight ball before the game even starts.
Yep. 713-780-ESPN. We'll get to your reaction, your questions. What went wrong with the Astros today? Also, Chris Sims always has some doozy takes when it comes to quarterbacks in the NFL. What was his latest doozy of a take? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. 713-780-ESPN. What went wrong with the Astros? Get to the Sims thing in a minute. 8576, Astros didn't have any J-Bar M. That's what went wrong. Bees didn't either. Nope. Killer G's put themselves on a pedestal, ate it all. Didn't leave any for the Bees. And then on top of that, they left their trash for us to have to deal with.
Ed trashed us before we even got here.
Yeah, I didn't hear that part.
I did.
Yeah.
Firsthand.
Yeah.
And I called them on it when I came in.
Oh, did you? What'd they say?
And they were like, oh, well.
They played dumb?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They do that very
they
well.
They do it a lot.
Paul, I don't think Paul plays dumb. Paul will own his stuff. Now, Joe, on the other hand, might play dumb.
Joe was the leader on all that, too.
He might be. What are you talking about? You know what we're talking about.
But they both use the Angry Bee moniker.
It's not a bad one. I don't mind it. 2787, I feel like teams are sitting spinner and only spinner against Fromber. MLB hitters are too good not to tee off on him. Am I wrong? Like, here's the, like, okay. Look, Fromber didn't pitch well. Here's another one talking about Fromber. Fromber went wrong. I just don't think he is good. That was from Kyle. This is, look, we're all mad at Fromber today. Fromber is a wild horse. He's up and down. He's a roller coaster, all of these things. Fromber Valdez is still a good pitcher in baseball. Fromber Valdez at times can be pretty stinking dominant. Fromber Valdez in his last outing went the distance and gave up one run. Fromber in his last three games has had a 2.05 ERA prior to today. So, like, yes, we're mad at Fromber. Yes, he's a bit of a roller coaster. He's a big bit of a roller coaster. He's very temperamental. He's a wild horse. All of these things are true. But to say, like, Fromber Valdez stinks and is not good, or what was the other one? That's
a reach.
Yeah, it's, I mean, or that, like, well, or that, like, teams are sitting spinner, only spinner against Fromber. MLB hitters are teeing off on him. He's been really stinking good in his previous three starts up until today.
He threw a complete game last outing and had the Angels eaten out of his hand. I mean, this is like the conversation about Hunter Brown, only Fromber has more skins on the wall. He has more accomplishments. He has better overall stuff, I would say. And yes, he's older, and yes, the contract negotiations for an extension are a different story. But right now, Fromber is a better pitcher than Hunter Brown, and Fromber has, like, top five stuff in the American League when he's on his game. The problem is, and we keep saying this, everything between his ears. And the fact that something so little, so minute, can be such a big deal in terms of, take the Angel game here. What looked like a coast-easy, big-time win for the team, all because of a call, turned into three bombs, an advantage into a deficit, a game you should have won that you lost, and everybody pointing the finger squarely at him, which he deserved, going, what the hell are you doing? And now it's happening again.
Yeah, I mean, he's prisoner of the moment. And look, I mean, the truth is that he's inconsistent. He doesn't have a great mental approach to the game, but he can still be very, very good. I mean, Joe's probably going to want to trade him tomorrow. I can probably prepare you for that. 9664, is there any possibility that Abreu has not already been DFA'd because he's very close to Alvarez and it could adversely impact number 44? I don't think Yordan Alvarez cares if Jose Abreu is DFA'd. I mean, these guys are pros. They don't understand the business of the game.
The only one that probably cares the most, I think his closer friend would be Altuve.
Is he?
I mean, that was the word coming in, that Altuve and him have been friends for years and that, you know, Altuve was really excited to get him. But I don't think, and everybody understands, like you said. I mean, look, if the guy's not hitting, and especially because guys want to win too. So, yeah, he's a good dude. Great dude. That's not taken away and it's going to change. But he's not helping us, and if the team's got to make that move to make us better, then we got to go with it.
Brandon, the Woodlands, it's pretty obvious it's a leadership issue.
How is the players, I mean, play the game on the
I mean,
field,
if Carlos Correa was making mound visits today, I don't know if Fromber Valdez gives up as many runs as he gives up today. If Carlos Correa was on this team, I think that they're probably the best team in all of baseball. I think that if Carlos Correa was on this team making mound visits on a nightly basis, I think that they're 51-18, quite frankly. I really do. I agree with that texter. if they had the presence of the Correa mound visits, this team is the first team in baseball to 50 wins. I completely agree, Brandon. 5315 waiting on Granato's take on this team tomorrow morning. What does Granato do? What am I missing here? 5315. Do you know?
I'm not sure either.
Is he very reactionary to them as well?
I mean, he's normally a staunch supporter of the team, but he'll call it like he sees it. So he's probably going to unload on Fromber.
You think so?
Yeah. I think that's one thing that he will easily do.
Tell me what you mean by that, 5315. I'm curious. I'm curious what you mean. Has JV had one of his player meetings this year? I don't know.
I mean, that's the one thing we haven't heard that they've done in a long time. Remember they had one like right out of the gate after like a week? Didn't they have one like after a week, week and a half? They already had a team meeting. We were like, whoa, that's a little bit early for a team meeting.
Yeah. I mean, they had 24 team meetings last year. Like, right. I think that stuff is overrated. Like, that stuff is cool whenever you have the team meeting and then, like, coincidentally, they go on this huge, like, heater. And it's like, well, it was the team meeting. No, it wasn't. It was that they started playing better baseball.
But again, if money's no object or winning is the only thing with Crane and his buddies, wouldn't you put a sports psychologist on the road for him? Have access to every team, like an interpreter or anybody else? Or like when Josh Hamilton had to have that guy that traveled to every game because they wanted to make sure he stayed clean? Like, isn't it mean enough to you to have a guy that would travel with Fromber that could be accessible in the dugout during games to say, hey, man, in between innings and everything like that, don't let one play get to you. Do this, do that, don't do this. It seems like something that you would do with a child, but we've seen these situations in sports before where some guys need it.
Yeah, he might not want to, though. Like, you can't force him to do that. If you're like, hey, I want you to see a psychiatrist again, he could be like, no, I don't want to. You can't force him to do that. And I'm sure he probably doesn't love it. Like, I'm sure he doesn't love the idea that Fromber's only good whenever he has a psychiatrist by his side. Like, so there could be a pride element there as well. 5315 says that Granato said they will be a first place team by the end of July based on their win yesterday. Ooh. See, I'm not giving up on playoffs. I think I might be giving up on the division.
I was just
going to
say,
though,
if you looked at the division in the last 24 hours and realized it's 7 again, and now it's more.
Yeah, I'm not giving up on the playoffs because I think they can get into the wild card race. The Mariners pitching staff is flat out filthy, though.
Yep.
Like, expecting the Mariners to have, like, this terrible... Like, and I know that their offense stinks, but their pitching staff alone, like, it's hard to imagine me thinking they're going to play below 500 baseball for, a significant period of time. Their pitching's far too good for them to play sub-500 baseball for, like, a three-week span. A wild card, sure, I'm not giving up on that.
They literally only have to score about 3 runs a game.
I know. Yeah, unless there's like significant injury. Somebody else said this morning, Granato's guaranteed a win today.
Mm.
That's going to make tomorrow's
list.
That's going
to hurt a little bit.
Yeah. He said they're going to guaranteed a win today and said that they're back. 3338, Granato said they were back, and he stands with the Astros, and they would be in first place by the end of July. That last part, I guess, isn't completely out of play. 9012, a team meeting doesn't make sense, but a meeting at the mound does. Give me a break. I was kidding. I was mocking that. I think that mound visits and Correa's leadership were vastly overrated. People said when Correa, and here's the backstory. People said when Correa left, certain people that do radio on this airway, other airways, they said that the Astros will never replace Carlos Correa's leadership and they'll never be the same. They literally won a World Series the very next year. I think all of that stuff is overrated. I was being sarcastic, my bad. 4661, with the way they are trending, I think Espada is one and done. I'm disappointed he isn't more outspoken in trying to fire up the guys.
I don't think that's far fetched. I think that, look, again, the way these guys have shown to be operating on a daily basis and what Crane's track record shows you with guys that don't do it his way or things don't work out, he's not afraid to fire people. And so if he fires Joe Espada and gets a more veteran manager for next season when they're going to be in go for it mode in his mind again, then that's what he's going to do. And that wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Yeah, I think it's in play. 4661, only way to the playoffs is to win the division. That's not true. Astros are currently 8 games back in the division. They're 5.5 games back in the wild card. Seattle leads the division 39-30. The final wild card right now is the Twins, 36-32. The only way to the playoffs is not the division. The worst wild card team will have a better record than the winner in the AL West. 5315, and Granato's not worried about the Orioles coming to town. Granato must have been feeling really strong. Maybe he played golf with Bagwell yesterday or something like that.
Yeah, or Crane himself.
Maybe so.
He's got that kind of pull.
Big art at this point. I look forward to the Astros playing spoiler late in the season. I could not care less about the Astros being a spoiler.
Me either. Like at that point, then pull the plug, play your young players, see what they can do on the major league level, and figure out for next year.
I will have, if the Astros are out of the race and they're playing their young players, it'd be fun, like watching some young players and stuff like that. But I won't care if they win or lose games.
No, this was back when the Rockets were really bad too, and that and people were expecting that all their best players were supposed to be playing major minutes and doing things. They're like, they're out of the playoffs. Why not see what the young players can do? Sit all the veterans and realize the tip of the cap later. We don't need you putting any extra miles on the tires or getting hurt.
1984 spot is the Astros' David Culley. I see the comp. I think he's better than Culley, but results matter. 1711, is it impossible to dump Bagwell because he's such an Astro icon? I think it's time for Jim Crane's wife to force him to get rid of the influencer.
It's a good call.
That's doing all that. 1856, just want to say, I texted
baseball,
every show.
Our baseball Hannah. Needs baseball to come Hannah. To the rescue. We need
baseball Hannah. Never thought I would say that. 1856, just want to say I text into every show, and you are the only ones that regularly reply and acknowledge them. I appreciate it. We're the most interactive show on the radio.
Beat me to it. There you go.
Only a future homeless person would bet the house on the Mariners to win the division. I don't think anybody did, but if you're looking for a homeless person, I have a Twitch full of them. At what point do the Astros take a look in the mirror and become sellers? 5 weeks. 5 weeks. They have 5 weeks to determine if they're going to be buyers or sellers.
You're wrong.
What do you mean?
It's never.
Yeah. Okay. Should be.
Right. It's never.
It should be.
The right answer is never, but the answer that should be is exactly 5 weeks, you know, before the deadline. But it's not going
to
happen.
All right. Our listeners wanted to talk, Stroh. So we'll bring up this Chris Sims take with his quarterbacks tomorrow. We'll forward tease it, though, saying that he didn't have C.J. Stroud as one of his top six quarterbacks.
I saw that.
DJ Bianami said the same thing. We'll kick it around tomorrow. 713-780-ESPN. Car wreck of the day. what is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. I'm always thankful for General Ben, but it's especially good for days like today. It's raining. You're not feeling great about your sports team. Really don't have anything to watch tonight. Yeah, I know there's basketball, but how much interest do you have in that? I got Gentle Ben. I love Gentle Ben. Gentle Ben's the best. The vodka, best in the state. The gin, best in the market. The bourbon, the double platinum winner at the prestigious Ascot Awards. Gentle Ben uses their innovative, revolutionary technology that eliminates impurities for the cleanest, smoothest spirits you will ever taste. One of the impurities it eliminates, the heavy alcohols, kind of like the stuff you use to clean up a cut. That's not in Gentle Ben. It's smooth. It's clean. Eliminates the burn. Don't labor through your drink. Enjoy it. Savor it. And you can do that with Gentle Ben. Head to the Gentle Ben tasting room. We're going to be out there June 20th, a week from tomorrow. We're going to be there doing shows live. The Killer G's, Killer B's, broadcasting live from Gentle Ben a week from tomorrow. So put that in your calendar. Get out to the tasting room in Alvin. We'll be there. Head there anytime. Pick up some Gentle Ben at the liquor store. Ask for it at your favorite restaurant, your favorite bar. If you're going to an Astros game soon, they have a Gentle Ben kiosk right there to the left of the Crawford boxes. You can pick up some Gentle Ben. People send me pictures of them in front of the Gentle Ben bar there all the time. Also, Gentle Ben coming to Kyle Field. In fact, the unveiling this weekend, they're going to be there at Kyle Field when George Strait comes on through. So if you're going to watch the King of Country at Kyle Field, stop by, get some Gentle Ben there. They'll be there throughout the football season as well. Or you can just order it straight from the website. Head to GentleBen.com, learn the incredible story, and order straight from the site. Have it delivered straight to your door at GentleBen.com. Gentle Ben, you'll love what's not in it.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break. You all right?
My leg's broken. The bone's coming through.
Give me a bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
All right, car wreck of the day, 713-780-3776. What are you nominating for car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. What do you got, Blinkers?
Well, we always have to start with the obvious, and that would be your favorite baseball team, because the Astros have yet done it again, and they lost a series, they lost a game, and it continues to suck if you're an Astros fan, so we will start there.
Yeah, not a great one. Rubber game, you want to win the series. Fromber didn't really give you much of a chance.
No, he didn't, and that's a problem.
Yeah, that's a good nomination. I want to nominate Young Thug's court case. I took a deep dive into Young Thug's court case today.
Okay.
Yeah, this is some. He's got really good acronyms, Young Thug. They've been playing like his album at like the court. Like they're using his rap lyrics against him, saying like these are like testimonials of your life and stuff like that. There were his attorney got some information that the judge was talking to the prosecutor and like a key witness like behind like in the judge's chambers, and he exposed to like he said brought it up in court.
What are the judge? Charges?
I don't know, gang activity, I think.
Okay.
Probably some murders and racketeering, too. You know, just your normal 36 racketeering cases. But, yeah, so, like, his attorney brought up in the courtroom, I don't know when this happened, I saw a TikTok about it, that he had a source tell him that the judge, a prosecutor, and a key witness were in the judge's chambers talking about the case, which is not...
No, that's not
right.
You can't
do that. And, like, they talked... Yeah, and he brought that up, and the judge like, you're going to be held in contempt of court. He's like, I don't care. Like, I don't want to be in contempt, but I don't care. I'm not changing my mind. And the judge was trying to demand his source. He's like, I'm not giving up my source. They sentenced him to, like, 20 hours in prison to be served during the weekends, and the attorney's like, I'm doing it. I'm not giving up my source. So Young Thug's attorney is a real one. He is a real
wow,
one.
Wow, that's strong this on his part.
I hadn't heard about it until late last night, and I deep dove it today. Yeah, Young Thug's court case is worth, and it's been going on for like 70 days.
No, I wonder 70 if there's days. Any way he can verify that it happened.
I don't know.
Because then you get a lawsuit.
Oh, yeah, and it probably get the case thrown out.
That, too. There's no doubt for the case. Yeah, that's definitely contempt to be thrown out.
Crazy
but, stuff. But the fact is if he gets, and he does the time, and that even makes it worse where he could sue them.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah, that was an interesting wormhole down Young Thug today. All right, what else you got?
Well, I got one that we need to get to, but we've had these in the past, but this one is up for interpretation. Evidently, last night, the Pirates TV crew, and they can't figure out which one did it, might have dropped a bomb on the air, if you know what I mean. I'll leave it to your interpretation.
We saw it with this man, Mountcastle, on a two-strike curveball going the other way.
Was it the chair? Because I've heard it before, and I know people on the internet are just dead set on the fact that he ripped one.
I think it's the chair.
I thought it was too.
I think it's the chair. I don't think this happened last. Did you see the timestamp? This is not last. Well,
they were talking about it on ESPN this morning.
Really?
Yeah.
The one that you posted?
Yeah.
The timestamp says 21.
I thought I got the right one, but I
this looks like during COVID times.
I searched it. I searched Pirates TV announcer farts.
Oh, maybe it was a okay. Maybe you pulled up an old one, but it happened again.
Okay,
that's what happened.
Yeah, because even McAfee was talking about it after they were talking about it on SportsCenter.
Yeah, you pulled up an old one then. So this guy is
notorious.
He's got a problem.
Notorious, then maybe there is a problem.
That's good that you pulled up an old one, because now we know that it's an ongoing problem. This guy is a serial farter on broadcast.
Can we identify which one it is, though? Because there's two guys, and they're not on camera when it happens.
But when a fart happens between two men, they both know the one that did it. They might not admit to it, but both people know the one that did it. Now, if it happens with three or more, now you have some gray area there.
Yeah.
It's a little
bit
of a
window.
But I guess
I get car wreck of the day, too, because I didn't look at the time.
Well, no, but I didn't realize that if they were talking about it on McAfee and stuff, pulled up an old one by accident. But, yeah, the guy's a serial tutor.
They were talking about Skeens pitching last night. He went seven innings and didn't give up a run. And they said, but the bigger story within the game was the fact that the Pirates announcer dropped a bomb on the air.
Serial tutor. Conor McGregor and Michael Chandler is in limbo. There's positivity nowhere to be found. I don't think we're ever going to see Conor McGregor fight again. Conor McGregor is done.
What kind of state of mind he was in the last couple times he's in public, it's probably a good thing.
Yeah, he looks like he's doing some things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's bouncing around. Looks like he's doing some things. Trey wants to nominate Mauricio Dubon's glove, costing the Astros the series.
Not today, right?
The two errors were the finale in the Angel series.
Yeah, it was
though.
Right. Yeah, it was the two errors at third base after Bregman got hit.
So unless he's saying that Dubon should have gotten to some balls today when Fromber was getting hit around, this would have been the finale against the Angels. Now you could say that he cost him a winning record on the road trip, and that's true. He and Presley definitely cost the Astros that final game in Anaheim.
Well, Dre, if it makes you feel any better, he probably won't get the Gold Glove this year.
Dre says, "Why would McGregor ever fight again? I don't know. Why did he sign up to fight Michael Chandler?"
He he needs to make money.
Yeah, that's the other thing. To make $20 million, why would any of these guys fight? To cash in.
Did he sell the whiskey company, or he was contemplating it?
Someone made him an offer on that.
Yeah.
I mean, how much did he ever own of that anyways?
I know that he had an offer on the table that he was supposed to be able to cash in on, but I don't know.
Yeah. I have one more. Joey Chestnut selling out and disappointing his fans. That Joey Chestnut, he's selfish, man.
Sell out if he got that much money.
Beef? I'm not even sure they're beef hot dogs. I think Nathan's hot dogs all beef, I think.
I think you're right.
He's cashing out his fans of beef. He's selling out his fans of beef with these fake vegan dogs. Unbelievable.
Tried them?
No. I mean, I'm sure they taste the same. I mean, hot dogs usually...
The same? Close. I would say most things, because my wife's vegan, most things taste close.
Yeah.
But I don't think they taste the same.
I mean, unless you're getting an all-beef hot dog, it's not like that stuff is made from the best of materials anyway.
As a Wisconsin kid with the field trips, I'm telling you, you don't want to know what goes into a hot dog if you don't know.
The non-all-beef hot dogs kind of gross me out a little bit.
My man Murph would just say everything from the rooter to the tooter.
Yeah. Yeah, I do like Boudin, though. All right, who's winning the game tonight?
I think the Mavericks are going to win the game tonight.
Make it a series?
Yeah.
All right. I hope you're right. I'd like to see a competitive series. I don't really care who wins the series, but I want to see a competitive one. You can listen to NBA Final coverage here on ESPN 97.5 as well. Thanks to B-Rod for the hard work. He's Blank on Brad. I'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Good night.
ESPN 97.5.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
All medications require eligibility and prescription. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.